All right, case number 16-F-25, State v. Thomas Deegan. We've got some pretrial motions that we need to deal with. First thing, I want to make sure, Mr. Deegan, I think that there has been delivered to that table a jury list that shows the potential jurors for today. Is that on?
No. That's supposed to be a few days ahead of time, is it not?
I'm not aware.
So I can go over that.
I'm not aware of that. You could have requested it. Also, a pad of paper is there on the table. And do you have a writing utensil?
Yeah, but it's impossible with the handcuffs. So
yeah, uncuff him, please. It's my understanding you have clothes for this afternoon?
No.
You don't?
No.
Faith, I thought you told me that he had clothes.
Well, I was told.
Who told you that?
Lieutenant Harris over at the holding cell.
Get Lieutenant Harris on the phone. Find out why he told you that he had them and he's saying he doesn't have them.
Jail says some, but they're not mine. And I haven't even seen if they fit or anything, and they're not. I mean, sitting next to two people in suits, I would at least expect the same. I wouldn't want to look any different.
So you think the state has the obligation to provide you with a suit?
I'm in the care, custody, and control of the state.
Okay.
Whether that means they do or not, I have no idea. I'm unsure of many things at this point.
Well, of course, we discussed at the last hearing the fact that you could wear street clothes if you desired. As you indicated, the jail, I think, went out of their way to get you clothes. You also, of course, have been in contact with your people, at least Hudak, I think is his name, which could have provided you with clothes. So, I mean, if you choose not to wear clothes, that's right.
No, I haven't been in contact with anyone because they're not counsel, so they can't actually come see me. I saw him last Wednesday, and that was to tell me that I wasn't getting transcripts.
All right. I guess the first thing we need to deal with is the motion to continue. Because of so many pleadings, in the court file, I'm going to designate this one and give it to the clerk after we go through it so that she can, so the record can be clear as to what motion we're talking about. The first issue I see in there is, Mr. Deegan, you raised something about Mr. Oshway has failed miserably in his duties, you say including but not limited to the transcripts. What else other than the transcripts are you saying that he has failed miserably at?
There has been absolutely no contact other than for him to tell me he wasn't getting them, which was last Wednesday, which was 6 days before a scheduled trial, and I had been told on the 1st that I would have them by the 3rd. There's been absolutely no research done. There's been no contact made. I have no way of contacting him from inside confinement. It was my understanding that he was appointed above and beyond my objections to assist me in whatever may be needed. And so far that has been pushed on to other persons that do not have the capability of coming into the jail, speaking with me, giving me research, letting me know what is going on, and does not have access to the funds of the state as Oshawa would, which would assist further in the defense, such as a private investigator, expert witnesses, none of this. And he was appointed by you, not me. I never accepted him. He was never asked for by me in any matter, either matter, before this court. And so I wanted to make that clear on the record, in the paperwork.
I guess I'm a little puzzled by how you don't want him, but yet you're complaining because he didn't do anything for you.
Well,
can you help me understand that?
He was pushed onto me by you. And so at that point, then he has a duty. I never wanted him, and yet he kept being pushed on me. I mean, I made it quite clear in, the alleged magistrate court over there, the corporation doing business as a magistrate, that I did not accept him. Made it quite clear. And then when I showed up here for the alleged revocation hearings, here he is again, popping up on another case. Never asked for him. Never asked for him.
Okay. So why are you now complaining that he didn't do anything when you didn't want him? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Because the court placed him next to me so that they would have jurisdiction. Trial court rules, when a lawyer leaves the case, he has to give notice to the court that the court still has jurisdiction. And so that's my contention, is that he's here simply for the jurisdiction of the court and nothing else. Because he has not helped in any way, shape, or form in the defense of this entity, Cesca V. Trust, Ens Legis, Nom de Guerre, Federal Corporation, whatever it may be. I'm not even sure what it is at this point.
And when did you ask him to do this stuff?
To do what?
Well, to do the research.
He said here in open court that he had a problem with the angles that I was using. And so there's no way he would have done. And you had told him that if there was a conflict with his duty to the court and duty to me, that the court supersedes. And, of course, the court has even said that my legal filings, my lawful filings, are ridiculous and without merit. And so
I didn't say that to all of them.
Well, there were one or two that you didn't. And I mean, I have a stack here that I've done.
So I want to make sure I understand. What you wanted him to research were issues that you knew that this court would not allow him to research.
I knew that he would object to it, and the court would say that they were ridiculous and unfounded, even though they're based in federal law, case law, state law, international law.
Okay. And I mean, you saw him when he was here at the various hearings. Did you ever ask him to come out and see you?
I mean, that's a given if he's working for me. That's a given. I mean, I see the same thing over and over at the jail.
So I take that as a no. You did not specifically ask him to come out and see you.
No, the given was that he worked for me as assistance of counsel. That's.
I thought you just said you didn't want him.
No, that you appointed him as that.
At your request.
No,
I do things at your request.
No, I asked for the recognition of the people that had been hired by me upon my kidnapping on the 23rd to continue in their capacity that they had been in since that time.
Okay. All right. Mr. Oshawa, is there anything you want to say with regard to anything that Mr. Deegan has alleged?
Yeah, I think a couple of things need to be clarified. He asserts that he has had no way to communicate with me. However, I have received three or four faxes and some email communications from a person known to me as Phil Hudock, who has represented in those messages or at other times that he's passing along information or requests from Mr. Deegan, and in particular The faxes that I'm referring to were demands that I deliver to Mr. Deegan the discs which contained the recordings. And I had a couple of, back and forth conversations by fax and or email with Mr. Hudock. And in those, and I've got copies of them here, but in those he represents that he's communicating to me on behalf of Mr. Deegan, and that he's just, this is not something that he has come up with, but he's doing this at the behest of Mr. Deegan. I did meet with Mr. Deegan last Wednesday. He's never requested to see me. In fact, every communication, every time I've met with Mr. Deegan, he has made it clear that he does not accept me as his counsel, that he does not doesn't request me to do anything. He's never asked me to do any research. On Wednesday, I asked him if he wanted to go over the trial process. He declined for me to do that. I asked him if he wanted to talk about his trial strategy or what his strategy was. He declined to do that. Our conversations have been cordial. There's not been any acrimony on either side. He has, other than the specific request for those discs, he has not made any request of any sort from me or of me throughout this entire process.
Mr. Rogers, anything you want to say in terms of the first ground for continuance, which is that Mr. Oshway has not done certain things for the defendant?
Your Honor, specifically to this ground, the court and Mr. Oshway have given this defendant every opportunity to receive any type of information or material that the defendant wants, specifically as to transcripts. The state is not going to use the transcripts, but the discs have been provided to the defendant to listen to, and I have made sure with the jail, and they have confirmed with me that he can listen to them as much.
We'll get to the transcripts here in a minute. Let's just deal with
just Mr. Oshway. Okay. Then that's all I have to say. I mean, it's Mr. Oshway has been available, and as far as I know, the defendant has made it clear to this court that he doesn't want to, and that's his prerogative.
If I might just add a couple of words about the provision of the transcripts.
We'll get to the issue of the transcripts here in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, can I rebut what he said then?
Sure.
Yeah. Once again, I would like to make it very clear that from the beginning, I have said I do not want him, and that according to the trial court rules, when an attorney leaves, he must state that the court retains jurisdiction, and I am contending that that is the sole reason this person has been placed next to me from the very beginning, because I've made it very clear I do not need one. I am not incompetent. I am alive. I'm here. I have several hundred pages of research and filings here to show that I'm quite capable. If he's been placed by you as assistance of counsel, then he should have done his job and been there asking what I needed. Quite clearly, he's seen what was filed. He's seen what I needed. The boxes of paperwork that go with this stuff here was retained by the actual assistance of counsel that I hired upon my kidnapping on the 23rd of last year. And not a single page of it has come from him. And he's been here since October, I believe the 15th, near me everywhere I went.
All right. This ground for continuance is denied. Mr. Oshway was appointed as standby counsel, not as counsel. And as standby counsel, the court delineated certain issues and duties of Mr. Oshway, and they were to assist the defendant at his request, because as the defendant stated here and has stated several times in court and many times in his several pleadings. He doesn't want an attorney to represent him. He doesn't want anybody except for some of his friends who are not licensed to practice law in the state. And so to say you don't want somebody, but then to turn around and say he didn't do anything is, in this court's opinion, inconsistent. There's never been a request that I'm aware of or any statement made that Mr. Oshway has not done something that he's asked him to do. In fact, Mr. Deegan has said himself that the things he wanted him to do, he knew were not appropriate for a licensed attorney to do. Why don't we, since this ground does talk about the transcripts, why don't we just go ahead and get into the transcripts? Of course, first we have to understand under the law of this state, as I understand it, transcripts are not admitted, are not admitted as evidence. They can be given to the jury when the jury listens to a tape or a recording of some kind to assist the jury in understanding what is on the tape. It's my understanding from the last hearing that we had, I think it was the last hearing, that there were essentially three DVDs, and I think my understanding is there are three separate DVDs. The first one is of a conference call that was, I'm not even sure of the date, but it's my understanding that that's the sort of the genesis of the criminal charge. There's also a separate DVD that contains some, as I think they've been referred to, as jail phone calls, which is my understanding is, again, there's been no evidence of this, but my understanding is phone calls either received by the defendant or made by the defendant at the regional jail that were recorded, as I guess all of them are. And then a third DVD, which is of a video of the defendant. I've seen portions of it, but not the entire thing. I think it's like an interview with somebody or something.
Yeah, it was stolen from YouTube, yeah.
Okay.
Sir,
I'm talking right now.
I know.
The conference call, I have a transcript. I was given a transcript. I think, I'm assuming the same transcript that the defendant was given. I don't know. Is the state going to provide to the jury a copy of that transcript?
No, Your Honor.
What about of the jail phone calls?
No.
And of the video?
No.
Now, when was the conference call DVD provided to Mr. Oshaway?
I believe it was January 19th, but I want to make sure I have a correct date. January 19th.
And the jail phone call DVD?
January 19th.
And the video? DVD.
The video, I don't believe, was provided to Mr. Oshaway. That was after I was already informed by the court to only send any discovery to the defendant.
Okay. Well, then, to each of these, when were they provided to the defendant by the state, the conference call?
January 19th.
So on the same date you provided it to both Mr. Oshaway and the defendant?
Oh, sorry, no.
Okay.
That so was...
When was the conference call DVD given to the defendant?
That was not given to the defendant by the state. I was...
never provided a copy of the DVD for the conference call to the defendant himself?
Not to the defendant himself, no, Your Honor. I will say that I was informed by... I don't want to make that statement.
And the jail phone call?
The jail phone calls, I provided transcripts and then later a disc that just contained the jail phone calls that the state was going to use.
It was late Friday, if that helps him.
The last DVD or last CD that I did send to the defendant that contained the jail phone calls, and this is after I was made aware that they could be sent to the jail, was March the 10th.
And what about the video?
Sent redacted versions on March 11th, but the original... I actually provided the, at the time that I sent out discovery on February the 24th, I was still under the impression that no CDs were allowed to be sent to the jail, so that was sent to standby counsel on February the 24th.
Okay. Mr. Oshaway, did you provide any of these discs and or transcripts to the defendant?
I did provide the...
Transcripts from the state.
Yes.
The state provided to you.
Yes. I provided all of the transcripts that were provided to me by the state to Mr. Deegan on the same day that I received them.
Which was when?
I believe that was the January 19th date.
Mr. Deegan, did you receive the transcripts on the 19th?
I think it was the hearing date was the 26th. He may have received them, but like I said, he had not been up there to see me or done anything. So it wasn't until the hearing, and I believe that was the 26th of January.
That may in fact be correct, Judge.
Okay. Now, the transcripts that we're talking about the conference call, is that correct?
There is a transcript for the conference call.
Okay. Well, when we say the transcripts were provided to the defense, we're talking about the conference call transcript.
That's correct.
And then four jail phone call transcripts?
That's correct.
Okay. And the reason I make that distinction is that I think on one of the disks that were provided to the defendant, there were multiple, many, many jail phone calls.
That's correct. That was provided to standby counsel initially.
Okay, and I wasn't aware about that. In other words, I thought that the disk only contained the four that the state was going to use. I didn't know that it contained all of them, because I think at the one of the hearings we've had, I told Mr. Oshaway that he could have somebody prepare their own version of the transcripts, which is fine, but then we got into some issues with being able to get all that done. All those transcripts of all those, what I guess we were referred to as excess jail phone calls, transcribed. Okay. Mr. Oshaway, when did you give the DVDs to the defendant?
I have never given the DVDs themselves to the defendant.
Why not?
Well, because if either the last hearing or the hearing before that, when I was advised by the court when I learned that the Supreme Court was providing a computer to Mr. Deegan, it was in that hearing. My understanding was that he was being provided the computer and the disks, either by the Supreme Court or either through the efforts of the Supreme Court or through the Supreme Court and prosecutor's office. That was the hearing at which the court informed me that I should make an effort to obtain transcripts of the two discs, the conference call and the jail calls, all of the jail calls, and I took a couple of days to locate a person who was willing and able to try to do that work, and I provided the DVDs that I had to her, and then approximately a week went by, so that was about 2 weeks ago when all of that occurred. And that's what, the two discs that I had at that time, that's what I did with them. And it was my understanding that the state, either the state or through the offices of the Supreme Court, that the computer and the discs were going to be provided to Mr. Deegan. Because up until that point, it was my understanding that I could not give him the discs.
Who did you have that understanding from?
Well, actually from Mr. Deegan himself, as well as from my prior experience with the jail, in that when I would meet with, in the past, when I've met with clients at the jail and needed to review recordings, I would bring my computer, and the guards were very careful to ensure that I understood that every disc that I brought into the jail to meet with my client, I needed to be sure I brought that out with me.
All right. So, Mr. Deegan, when were the discs, the DVDs, available for you to listen to?
I believe starting on the 3rd, but because of the deadline, I had other paperwork to get done, and finally was able to get up front Thursday, and I've been able to get up front for about 4 hours a day. And then one of the discs that he provided doesn't work all the way through, bad audio or bad video link, something, stopped at, I think, about an hour. That would have been the stolen interview from YouTube. The conference call is almost in places so faint of a recording, or what, at least what they gave me, that it's almost impossible with the speakers on the old computer that I have to hear it. And the jail calls, of course, I've started listening to them, but there are, I would say, probably at least 100 hours worth. And then, of course, there were two redacted versions of the video sent late Friday evening. I received it, I believe, about 7:30 from Captain Jones. They were brought up either by transport or by Sheriff One.
Well, maybe we need to get some evidence on as to the availability of that computer and the DVDs. Is Mr. Bowen here?
And Judge, if I may, on the transcript issue, the transcripts that I had arranged to have prepared, I think the court's aware that the court reporter, Wendy Bailey, contacted me last week, about, I think, on Tuesday, to inform me that the volume of the calls would, she could not complete the work in time for today. She did have some of the calls were transcribed, and I was able to that transcript, partial transcript, consisting of about 120 pages. Was available to me yesterday, and I've put it here on the table in front of Mr. Deegan this morning.
Please swear the witness.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, ma'am. I do.
May be seated.
Would you state your name, please?
Yes, Timothy L. Bowen.
Okay, and what's your position?
I'm the administrator of the North Central Regional Jail.
All right, and you and I have spoken a couple times over the last couple weeks.
Yes, sir.
I guess my first questions are about if. I mean, Mr. Deegan in this case represents himself.
Yes, sir.
If the jail had been asked, would the jail have made arrangements for the defendant to be treated, I guess, different from defendants who are represented by counsel?
Yes, sir. Pro se inmates, we do treat different as far as access to courts and legal than we do someone that has a lawyer.
Okay. In this case, we're talking about three DVDs, and they need to be played on a computer. If someone had asked you, either the defendant himself or someone on behalf of the defendant, to be able to listen to or watch DVDs or associated with this case, would those arrangements have been made?
Yes, sir. We'd have had to reach out to whether it's Supreme Court or in that situation also, we have some funds set up where we may have to purchase equipment for that. But obviously, we try to do it the less expensive.
Are you saying the jail would, if needed, the jail would actually purchase a computer for a defendant to use?
Yes, sir, or a CD, whatever would play, whatever the equipment would be necessary. Yes, sir.
Okay.
We'd work with the courts.
Now, specifically, well, let me ask you this. Has anyone asked for that in this case? In terms of prior to you and I talking, had anybody ever asked for Mr. Deegan to either be able to see or listen to DVDs or arrange for some kind of computer equipment?
No, sir.
Okay. Now, in this case, you and I first started talking, I think it would have been 2 weeks ago yesterday, or 2 weeks ago today.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we were trying to make some arrangements to where Mr. Deegan could, at first I think we thought it was listen to some CDs, and then we, as information came to us, we discovered it was the DVD and it needed a computer. Is that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And was a computer delivered to the regional jail?
Yes, the West Virginia Supreme Court delivered it and also instructed Counselor Hudson and Captain McLean. I believe it was on the 2nd of March.
Okay. And were there DVDs also at that time?
Yes, there was, I believe, three at the time, initially.
Okay. All right. And at that time, was the defendant, Mr. Deegan, made aware that he could listen to or watch the DVD?
Yes, sir. Captain McLean and Counselor Hudson met with Mr. Deegan on the 2nd and explained that to him and how to get access to those DVDs anytime he requested it through our kiosk system, which is an email system.
Okay. So, and you said it was the 2nd of March?
Yes, sir.
So from March 2nd on, Mr. Deegan could have, within, I guess, taken into consideration security within the jail, but I mean, he could have had access to it anytime?
Yes, sir. Yes, could have worked with him.
All right. Now, also, I talked with the defendant at the last hearing, I think it was, about some clothes, and he's saying that the jail brought down some clothes. Do you know anything about the clothes?
We had yesterday prepared some donated clothing to, if he didn't have anything else to wear, where he could wear, there was, I think, two different outfits he could choose from, but we had laid them out for transportation to bring today, and also, I think, some Croc-type shoes for him to wear.
Okay. So the jail provided that?
Yes. We asked him and if he had any, and he didn't think he did, and so we made those available.
All right. Mr. Deegan, do you have any questions you want to ask of Mr. Bowen?
In the room with the computer, is there a phone?
No, sir.
Okay, so I wouldn't be able to, if I seen something and needed it researched, I couldn't call directly. I would have to quit for the day, go back to the pod and wait for a phone call since it's locked down and it's not general pop, you're not running around.
Right.
Okay, so it's not like I could go up there and just stay for hours and hours on end if I found something I needed. I would have to leave there and go back.
You may not have to go all the way to your section, possibly to book him, but you would have to leave there, yes, sir.
Okay. That's all I have.
Would he be able to return, though?
Sure.
Okay. So it's not like he'd have to give up for that day. He could just go back.
Right. Sure. We had a the captain put out a actual memo to our people that during this little period, Mr. Deegan had full access to come up and back, and you know, and we're just trying to make it easy on everybody during this process.
Mr. Rogers, anything?
I have no questions for Mr. Bowen.
All Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Rogers, the defendant indicated that the, I guess you could say, the quality of the audio for the conference call, that he had some difficulty. I mean, I'm not listening to the actual recording. I mean, what's the quality of it?
I think the quality of the audio is great, especially when it comes to the conversation regarding the defendant. I'm not saying that it is a conference call, so there might be some instances where there are some people in there mumbling or that you can't hear very well, but any conversation by the defendant, I think, is very clear.
Mr. Diggin, anything else you want to say with regard to these transcripts or the DVDs?
Yeah, the state's had them since the alleged incident, the 23rd, and it was until the 2nd before I even had access. Seems a little unfair. Seems a little unfair. State's had a lot of time with all of this. Even the state police report was completed on November 7th, and I did not receive until last week or the week before. And then it brought up many, many other issues, and it also did not contain the attachments that it said it did. So it was incomplete, appears to be prejudicing me. If this case involves me, which I'm not sure it does, but if it does, then it's certainly prejudicing me.
Well, we'll get to this late disclosure of this report here in a minute. I'm just trying to keep it limited. Anything else you want to add to the DVDs or the transcripts, Mr. Rogers?
Well, what the defendant says is completely inaccurate. The defendant has had access to these DVDs and CDs since January, or he says January the 26th. It's been his choosing to not work with Mr. Oshaway, who was appointed to help him in any way. Everybody has been over backwards to let him hear these things, even getting a computer into the jail, when any other defendant, and in this case, I believe he had every opportunity to ask Mr. Oshaway to come and play those DVDs with him. So he's had all kinds of opportunity to listen to these things. He's just talking about these last few weeks that everyone has been over backwards to accommodate him since he refused to allow Mr. Oshaway to help him. So for those reasons, I don't think this is a valid reason to continue the case.
Well, the court would find that the defendant has had the transcripts of these, of the conference call and the four jail phone calls since January 26th. And yet again, you know, the defendant sort of uses Mr. Oshaway as a, I guess you could say, a whipping post, where if he wants it, he complains about it, and then most of the time he doesn't want him. But he could very easily have asked either the jail to make arrangements to listen to the DVDs, or could have had Mr. Oshaway come to the jail so that he could have listened to the DVDs. He's actually had access since March the 2nd, that's at least 10 days, I know the conference call is, I think the transcript is somewhat like 60-some pages. That's somewhat lengthy, but you know, could have sat there and listened and compared the what was on the DVD to the transcript. You know, the defendant never asked for any accommodation by the jail. You know, it seems like the defendant's just expecting everybody to just do things for him. You know, no clothes. He expects the state to buy him a suit. Expects the state to furnish him everything instead of him having any obligation to ask for things. And even though he didn't ask for anything in terms of the computer to listen to the DVDs, arrangements were made so that he could. And so I think that, you know, he's had transcripts for a month and a half, and he's had the DVDs available for over 10 days. And I just think that he's had adequate access to that in terms of the excess phone calls, jail phone calls, and that's what I'm, you know, those are the ones that Mr. Oshway was talking about that he had the person doing the transcripts. I don't know how those would be admissible. Mr. Diggin, are you making any allegation that those excess jail phone calls are in any way admissible?
Actually, none of them are.
Okay. So, and, you know, the other thing with the excess jail phone calls is that it's, you know, a conversation that he was a participant in. And so, I mean, I'm not going to say he has knowledge of what's in every phone call. That would be, I think, a difficult task. He was a participant in the phone call. So it wasn't like this was an interview with another witness or an interview with a co-defendant or a co-conspirator where he didn't know what was in it. But I just don't see how, I mean, and the reason I'm saying that is I don't know that I would have authorized the transcription of all these excess phone calls if I knew that that's what we were talking about. I thought we were talking about the four phone calls that the state was wanting to use. So the defendant had access to the DVDs, he had access to the video, he had access to the state's version of the transcripts. As I indicated, the transcripts are not admissible, but they certainly do give a indication as to what is on the DVD, so that the defendant, if he had read the transcripts back in late January or through the month of February, would have known, at least had some idea as to what the state was saying was in there. I don't see that as a a reason to continue this trial. The third ground that I see is that the state failed to prove anything. We're not at the point of proof. We will hopefully maybe this afternoon or tomorrow when we start the trial. But at this point, the defendant's allegation is that the prosecution has failed to prove anything. It's just that's a premature complaint. That may be an issue that is brought up after the state has rested its case, but not now. The next one brings up, as you already indicated, Mr. Deegan, something about these withheld documents I'm not sure without document. Okay, till this past Friday. What are you talking about? What documents are you talking about?
I'm not even sure what paper you're looking at, but
I'm looking at your motion to continue. It's styled notice and demand to delay trustee trial by the administrator. I'm trying to go through your motion to try to address the issues that you've raised.
Okay, well, I thought we were going back to the first ones, but
it was filed. Well, we received it by fax on 2, it says 2-6, but it must have been 3-6.
Okay, well then, I would say if that was it, then it was probably the state police report, which was dated, I believe, November 7th of last year. It was completely not filled out in any way, shape, or form in the blanks. The attachments that it said it contained in the report were not there. It raised several issues that needed to be looked at if this case is proven to be me.
What issues did it raise?
Well, there were many additional new witnesses. There were different statements made in it. And then, of course, it said that there were attachments of evidence, and yet there was nothing attached.
Mr. Rogers, are you guys going to go with that?
No, Your Honor, what he's talking about is a West Virginia State Police report that I sent to him as soon as I got it. I sent it out to the jail. What it contains essentially is 26.2 material in regard to the testimony that would actually be used by Trooper Williams. The remaining portions in the exhibits and witnesses that the defendant is talking about is in regard to a search warrant, which we already discussed at the last hearing, I believe, that the state does not intend to use any evidence at all related to the search warrant. So all those exhibits and those witnesses that the defendant has listed, they all pertain to items involved with the search warrant.
So you gave it to the defendant as 26.2 for the witness who filled out the document?
Right, correct. Trooper Williams.
Okay. Mr. Diggin?
Regardless of how it is, in the ends of his motions, when he's saying he's responding to my motions for discovery, it says that they can call or use anything contained within any of the documents listed. That document's listed, which means he can use the people in it or the documents that were supposed to be attached but were not given to me, which may be, and he also says that he's given me all of this, and if anything's exculpatory, I have it. Well, if I don't have it, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, he just indicated that he's using it for 26.2, which is a prior statement of a witness to give you advanced warning or knowledge so that you can use it for cross-examination.
Yes, but I would like to use the rest of it for investigation, for defense. If there was other documents attached to it that they claim supported that report, I should be allowed to see them to see if they lead anywhere.
What documents are referred to in that, Mr. Rogers?
He's referring to some items seized at the time of the search warrant. It's all property of the defendant. And to the state's knowledge, none of it's exculpatory. And again, the state doesn't intend to use any of those exhibits or anything obtained from the search warrant.
Why can't you just give him the copies of them?
These are actual physical, I believe what he's talking about is physical pieces of property, such as computers and flags and that type of thing.
It said papers or other attachments to the document. I know what they stole because I've made a demand to get it back. I know that, but it said that there were things attached to that report. You can't attach a hard drive or a computer to that report.
Your Honor, once again, all these things, the state doesn't intend to use it, and for those reasons, because we're not aware of anything exculpatory on those documents we have.
That wasn't my question, sir. My question was, why can't you provide it to the defendant? Why can't you provide what that document says or attachments?
Well, Your Honor, I wasn't specifically asked to send any of this documentation over. Again, I didn't intend to use it. I don't have any of this. Obviously, it's in the custody of the West Virginia State Police, but...
So you have it. You can't use that. That's not an excuse under West Virginia law. If it's in the possession of the police, it's in the possession of you.
Right, and what I'm saying is I wasn't nobody requested any of these exhibits from me, and again, I didn't intend to use any of it and wasn't aware of any exculpatory information that's on it.
You're not answering my question. My question is, why can't you provide those documents that document refers to?
I can get copies made, Your Honor. I'm not saying that I can. I just didn't at the time. I apologize. I wasn't answering your question correctly. I could get copies made.
And do you have those now in front of you?
No, I do not.
Where are they?
They would be with the West Virginia State Police. We'll work on getting copies, Your Honor.
I'm sorry?
We'll work on getting copies.
Do you know what they say?
I do not, Your Honor.
Then how do you know that they're not exculpatory?
I've talked to the investigator in the case as well as previous attorneys working on the case.
All right, get those copies, and I want to see them too, but we need to get them this morning. All right, the fifth issue or item is discovery. I'm assuming, Mr. Rogers, you've already provided Rule 16 discovery to the defendant?
That's correct, yes, Your Honor. Well, in the terms that we've discussed previously, I have sent everything, and then some of those documents that we talked about that I had sent to standby counsel. I've done that as well.
What documents?
The discs.
Okay. Now, what you asked for, Mr. Deegan, on pages 3 and 4 of your motion, and on to page 5 of your motion, all deal with issues that I said that's outside the scope of a general Rule 16 request for discovery, and that you'd need to make a motion for further discovery. Did you make that motion?
Yeah, that's the Brady demand there.
No, that's separate from Brady. Brady is exculpatory. What you're asking for in 5 A, B, C, D, E, and then E2, E3, E4, E5, E6, E7, E8, and E9, well, E9 is exculpatory. All those other ones are not exculpatory evidence. Five E9 was exculpatory, which the state has to provide whether you ask for it or not.
Yeah, I don't have that copy of that back yet. I have about a 2-week delay when I send them out. I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Well, 5A says you wanted to know what evidence there is for, I guess the names of every witness to show that you were physically present within the state of West Virginia. I'm assuming, Mr. Rogers, that the witnesses you've listed are the ones to establish that?
That's correct.
Okay, and then the same thing in 5B says the presence within Wood County. I'm assuming the witnesses you've identified?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, 5C, Mr. Deegan, you say... that you're subject or liable to the code of the state. And that's not an element of the offense that the state is required to prove. And did you make a motion for further discovery to address that issue?
To address which issue? The applicability? Of the Constitution or the social compact?
The names of every witness the prosecution relies on to prove that you are subject to the code of the state of West Virginia.
Yeah, I made it right there in that. I mean, it was quite clear.
This is not a motion for further discovery. This is a request to continue trial because they didn't provide you this information.
Right.
And I told you at an earlier hearing that you were entitled to Rule 16 discovery, and anything else, you would need to make a motion for further discovery if you wanted this other information. My question to you, sir, is did you make that motion?
That's it right there.
It's too late. You can't make a motion to continue based upon something that you haven't asked for.
I did ask for that. That was submitted before, and it was unanswered. I just restated it again.
All right. Well, that's not correct. I specifically told you that if you needed to get that information, that you would need to make a specific motion because the motion that you originally made was you needed to see what information was provided to you. So anyway, it's not an element of the offense, and so the state would not have had to provide that information to you anyway. 5D says subject to the Constitution and laws. Again, that's not an element of the offense. Corpus delicti 5E, that's a trial issue. I'm assuming, Mr. Rogers, you've listed all of the witnesses to prove that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so now 5E2 talks about experts. And I'm not sure, Mr. Deegan, you said experts generally or experts to establish that the laws apply to you. Which type?
Both.
I'm sorry?
It's both.
Is the state going to have any experts?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. And I've already ruled that the state does not have to prove that the laws apply. That's not relevant. All right. Then 5E3, evidence to prove defendant in state. That is not the type of information that is subject to further discovery. 5E4, evidence that the defendant is subject to the Constitution and laws. Again, that's not the type of request that is subject to discovery. Not an element of the offense. 5E5, evidence of a valid cause of action. Mr. Rogers, anything you want to say with regard to that?
As far as a valid cause of action?
Yeah.
The Supreme Court has ruled this code is valid on more than one occasion under the code that the defendant is being charged with.
Mr. Deegan, anything else you want to say with regard to that?
To the valid cause of action?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have to show legal injury or harm, and so far that hasn't been shown.
All right.
Or
well,
even suggested.
The term cause of action, of course, is normally not used in a criminal case. In my opinion, the indictment is evidence of at least a valid cause of action because evidence has been presented to a grand jury. Certainly, if at the end of the state's case, if the defendant has an argument at that point, but I think at this point, I think the indictment is sufficient evidence of a valid cause of action at this point. 5E6 is the name of witnesses. Mr. Rogers, have you supplied the names of all the witnesses?
Yes, Your Honor.
5E7, evidence, ask for evidence the witnesses are competent and have firsthand knowledge. This is not the type of request, in my opinion, that is subject to discovery, absent some allegation that a particular witness may not be competent, such as a child or due to a mental incompetency, and there's no allegation of that. 5E8 and 5E9 all ask about exculpatory information. Has the state provided any exculpatory information to the defense?
I'm not aware of any, Your Honor.
Not aware of?
Any evidence, and no, I have not provided any to the defendant.
But you're not aware of any evidence that is exculpatory?
That's correct.
All right. Madam Clerk, here's the document that I've been referring to, and I've written in magic mark a motion to continue so that the record is clear as to exactly what the defendant was, or what the court was referring to when we went through that motion. All right, we've got that one outstanding issue of that police report that was provided on Friday. We'll get to that when we get that. We've got some other issues that we need to deal with. Mr. Deegan, you've subpoenaed some witnesses, and I want to see, we have a subpoena that was served upon a Gene Stoniker, and I think we got a similar response. Madam Clerk, maybe you can help me. Similar response from Bill Hudock and Mrs. Deegan.
I don't remember the one from Mrs. Deegan.
Oh, we did not? Okay. But anyway, Mr. Deegan, these witnesses are saying that the person served is not them. The one I have here from Mr. Stoniker, and I'll give it to the clerk so that it's, oh, here's one from Bill Hudock, okay. They're circling the names, which are in caps, and they're refused for cause. I'm assuming because they're all caps in the name.
I would assume that they did not want to be a party to any fraud or any commercial transactions of which they do not have an accommodation agreement or other contract underlying it, and they wish to keep clean hands in all matters. But I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not them.
Okay. Well, and that's fine. But and if your witnesses want to take that position, that's fine, but as far as this court's concerned, they've been properly served. And, you know, if I don't know them all. I know that Mr. Hudock has been around because he served some things here down the clerk's office and I think to my office. I don't know this. There was one from Ms. Deegan.
Yeah.
I know that your mother was here at one hearing, I don't know Mr. Stoniker, so I don't know whether he's been here or not. But these are all your witnesses, and if they want to take that position, and if you want them to take that position, that's, you know, you'll have to suffer the consequences of those witnesses not being here.
I mean, they're adults. I have no control over them.
All right. Well, that, like I said, sir.
I was more concerned with the victims that I had subpoenaed to make sure that they would be present, especially for the motion hearings.
You also issued a subpoena for Mr. Wharton.
Yes.
Can you proffer to me, give me an idea as to why you want him as a witness?
A state police report said that he assisted Kevin Williams in drafting the complaint, which means he was a co-complainant. And as such, I think that, I don't know what he may or may not say. I don't know what Kevin's going to say, but I think I would have a right to at least have him on the list. And so that's why I put him on there.
And the complainant, you say, or the complaint, the original complaint in magistrate court, is that what
I'm saying? I'm assuming that's what the state police report was referring to. I'm assuming.
Mr. Rogers?
Your Honor, I can't speak to specifically what Mr. Deegan's talking to. What I can say generally in the office, Mr. Wharton being the prosecuting attorney, will review complaints to make sure that they're legally sound. But as far as the investigation and that type of thing, as far as I know, Mr. Wharton was not part of the investigation. He would have been merely the prosecuting attorney looking over a legal document to ensure that it should be filed.
Was Mr. Wharton at the scene of the, I'm assuming, there was some mention of a search. I know that the search isn't going to be used, but I'm assuming since there's a search that someone was at the scene, at a scene. Was Mr. Wharton at the scene?
Mr. Wharton is around, but to my knowledge, he was not at the scene.
Is there any way I could see a copy of the state police report? I don't have the copy back yet. My mail takes about 2 weeks to turn around.
Do you have a copy?
Just for a second, because I'll point out what I was talking about.
I can't confirm with Mr. Wharton, though.
The officer met with Prosecutor Wharton and drafted a criminal complaint. That means that they were together at that time. And, I mean, he's mentioned in here. I mean, that's, I think I would have a right to.
For what purpose, sir?
I don't know, because I don't know what his witnesses are going to say. I may need him. I may need him to say something. I'm not sure.
Where is Mr. Wharton? He was here a minute ago.
I can go find him.
Please. Well, we've been in session now for a while. Why don't we just go ahead and take a short recess while we wait for Mr. Wharton to get here.
I just wanted to continue going through a lot of it.